Sodom and Gomorrah. So the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just in the Bible. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just in the Bible for us to know. It's in the Bible for us to learn from. It's in the Bible for us to learn from, and so that we can know what is expected to happen to mankind. Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of two things, such that whenever you hear the mention of Sodom and Gomorrah, your mind will go to something. One, it is a symbol of a society that is totally far from God, completely morally depraved, completely immoral. It's a symbol of a perverse society. Whenever you hear Sodom, that is the first thing that comes to your mind. In fact, from the word Sodom, they got a word called sodomy, in which they used to tag homosexuals. So Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of something bad, a symbol of immorality, a symbol of a society that is completely godless. It's a symbol of a society that is far from God, that is hostile towards God. But not just that. It is also the symbol of something else. It is the symbol of divine judgment. It's a symbol of divine retribution. It's a symbol of the wrath of God. So when you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, the second thing that comes to your mind is, oh, those cities that God judged in his wrath. So when God refers to a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, he's saying, I am fed up with your nonsense. I am fed up with your evil. I am fed up with your lifestyle. I have sentenced you to judgment. Praise God. That is the meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah. A symbol of immorality, a symbol of an hostile environment towards God, and a symbol of divine punishment. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That was God's commentary about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so wicked that God was fed up with them. They prospered in sin and iniquity. That God said, no, I must judge these nations. But Sodom and Gomorrah is also significant. It signifies a completely depraved society. It signifies a society that is completely far from God and a society that is ripe for judgment. Amen. Pride. When they go to a state where they feel they don't need God, when man becomes independent of God, it becomes pride. And that was the sin of Sodom. Fullness of bread is just about materialism and earthly things. An abundance of idleness. The adage that says an idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. She was in hand, and she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That means there was greediness and covetousness everywhere. So it's not just homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah had sins they committed. Homosexuality was only one of them. So Sodom and Gomorrah symbolizes a society that is in enmity with God, and a society that is set for divine judgment. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be bought back. It cannot be forgiven. When God referred to Jerusalem as Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately judgment followed. So when God refers to a generation or a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, that means judgment is sure, judgment is certain. There's no repentance for them again. Mercy cannot prevail again over them. So it's a very, very bad state of mankind if God should call us Sodom and Gomorrah. Righteousness is a function of truth. The foundation of righteousness is what? Truth. Without truth, there can be no righteousness. And when I say truth, I'm talking of the word of God. That means truth was scarce. Where truth is scarce, righteousness will be scarce. Where truth is missing, righteousness will be missing. Where truth is prevailing, righteousness will be prevailing. If there is no truth, there is no righteousness. So when he's saying, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, it's to let you know that truth will be scarce. Sodom and Gomorrah. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. Dearly beloved, the only commodity that is sold in a living church is truth. Amen. The only commodity, the only product, the only goods we have to sell in a living church is truth. I'm saying this because this local church, the Bride Assembly Church Lagos, is a living church. Can we put hands together for the Lord? The truth is not compromised in this church. The truth is what is being sold in this church. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And I can tell you, the Lord has directed your steps to the right place. When you come to a church like this, avoid distractions and be focused on the reason why the Lord brought you here. Don't forget the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, many are called, few are chosen. Don't be distracted. God brought you here to prepare you for his kingdom. Don't be distracted by anybody's character. Don't be distracted by anybody's carnality. Only focus on what is being preached from the pulpit, and you will do your soul good. Because Ecclesiastes 3:16 says something. Many of us don't know that scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. So you can come to a living church like this and still see people indulging in iniquity. It is very scriptural. It shouldn't stumble you. Even Satan has access to the presence of God. So it should not stumble you. Only focus. Is the word of God being compromised in this church? If not, the Lord has done your soul good by bringing you to a place like this. And I pray that heaven at last will be our portion in Jesus' name. I won't waste time. The title of my exhortation today is Sodom and Gomorrah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's get Romans 15 verse 4 also. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. Where we just read, the Apostle Paul said, all these things that happened in the past, things that are recorded in the Bible. Let's read Romans 15 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We must take time to study anything and everything that is written in the Bible. Because it says they are written for us to learn from them. The Bible is not just a mere article. It's a living book. The Bible is both historical and prophetic. Apostle Paul, in advising Timothy, in talking to him on how we can become a vessel unto honor, told him to study. He says, study, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, that you might be a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, that you might not be ashamed. The scriptures, this Bible, is not a mere book. They are spiritual fossils. Do you know what a fossil is? The Bible, the scriptures are spiritual fossils. They bear evidence of God's dealing with man. They are time-tested memorials of the work of God with man. So we can open the Bible and look at how men related with God, or how God related with men in the past, and then it can guide us. That's why the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He says, the entrance of thy word bringeth understanding. If you ever want to have a successful walk with God, the scriptures must be your number one companion. Praise God. I'm laying this emphasis because many of us today don't study the Bible. What we study is Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and WhatsApp. A Christian today can spend hours on social media But that same Christian cannot spend just 1 hour studying the Bible. How do you expect to go to heaven? Yes, it's by grace, but heaven is not for lazy people. It's not for spiritually lazy people. If you ever allow spiritual laziness to catch you, you might as well say bye-bye to heaven. Because when the scripture says you should continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you then discover that it is not, heaven is not bread and beans. It's serious work. It says he's a rewarder of them that diligently, the emphasis is the word diligence, diligently seek him. So you don't come to God lackadaisically. You don't just come anyhow. You come with serious business. There is none of us that wants to transact a business that will not put in all our heart. But when it comes to working with God, we just dwell on the plane of religion. You know, you're satisfied with religion. No. You must be intentional and purposeful in your work with God. You must know why you're a Christian. You must know what is expected of you as a Christian. You must know where you're going to and how to get there. It is necessary, and the Bible is the only one. The Bible is the only thing that can guide us. Like I said, there are spiritual forces, so you can see them and say, oh, this is how God worked with man. This is how men worked with God. So it is necessary we study the stories in the Bible. It is necessary we study everything written in the scriptures so that we ourselves can have a proper walk with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9 says there is nothing new under the sun. Let's read it. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. It might not be new in exactness, but the type has been seen before. The motive, the objective has been seen before. If there is no new thing under the sun, then you can look at the scriptures, and through studying the scriptures, you can know what is expected to happen tomorrow. Through studying the scriptures, you can foretell that this is what will happen tomorrow. Praise God. In this Bible are silent prophecies and hidden revelations about the future of mankind. But many of us don't know. So when you come to a place like this, your attention should be focused more on the word of God. May the Lord grant us understanding and revelation in Jesus' name. And one of the stories that will help us as the bride of Christ is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, every average Christian is familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. A very beautiful city that was destroyed by God. But this story is not just a story. It's a pointer. The story is a pointer to the coming of the Lord. The story is to make us know what will happen to mankind, what is expected to happen to mankind. Let's open Luke 17 verse 28 and 29 on why we must study the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Likewise also, as it was in the days of, who? Praise God, are we together, brethren? As it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Praise God. So the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just in the Bible. It's not a fairy tale. It's not just in the Bible for us to know. It's in the Bible for us to learn from. It's in the Bible for us to learn from, and so that we can know what is expected to happen to mankind. Praise God. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah stands out unique in the Bible. Several places, even after the destruction of those cities, you will still see scriptures referring to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. It is more than a place. Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of two things, such that whenever you hear the mention of Sodom and Gomorrah, your mind will go to something. One, it is a symbol of a society that is totally far from God, completely morally depraved, completely immoral. It's a symbol of a perverse society. Whenever you hear Sodom, that is the first thing that comes to your mind. In fact, from the word Sodom, they got a word called sodomy, in which they used to tag homosexuals. So Sodom and Gomorrah has become a symbol of something, a symbol of something bad, a symbol of immorality, a symbol of a society that is completely godless. It's a symbol of a society that is far from God, that is hostile towards God. But not just that. It is also the symbol of something else. It is the symbol of divine judgment. It's a symbol of divine retribution. It's a symbol of the wrath of God. So when you hear Sodom and Gomorrah, the second thing that comes to your mind is, oh, those cities that God judged in his wrath. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. Whenever God is fed up with a society in the Bible, he will refer to that society as Sodom and Gomorrah. When God says he's fed up with a society, when God begins to refer to a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, know that God is fed up with that society. And not just is he fed up with that society, he has handed that society over to divine judgment. Amen. We can see it in the Bible. For instance, Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 14 and 15. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as what? Are we together? They are all of them unto me as, it's only the sister's voice I'm hearing. They are all of them unto me as, and the inhabitants thereof as what? Verse 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with warm wood and make them drink the water of God. For from the prophet of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Here is God referring to his own chosen city, Jerusalem, as what? Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you should look at what happened, not quite long after this prophecy, they went into captivity. So when God refers to a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, he's saying, I am fed up with your nonsense. I am fed up with your evil. I am fed up with your lifestyle. I have sentenced you to judgment. Praise God. That is the meaning of Sodom and Gomorrah. A symbol of immorality, a symbol of an hostile environment towards God, and a symbol of divine punishment. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, God still referring to the same Jerusalem as Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ye unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. At this place again, God is fed up with Jerusalem. And he has no other thing to identify them with than with Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is a very, very bad symbol. It's a bad identity. But the Bible says where we read that the days of the coming of the Lord will be like what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise God. So it gives us right to understand the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. It was a city, a prosperous city, quite all right. Physically prosperous. We see that in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13, 10. The Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw Sodom and saw how watered. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Even as what? As the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So it was a beautiful place. It was a fertile ground. It was a beautiful and prosperous city. But before God, the same chapter 13, verse 13, the first mention of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 13, verse 13, says the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That was God's commentary about Sodom and Gomorrah. They were so wicked that God was fed up with them. They prospered in sin and iniquity. That God said, no, I must judge these nations. Praise the living God. In Ezekiel chapter 16 also, verse 46, we'll see God still referring to Sodom and Gomorrah. But before that, let's hang that. There are several cities in the Bible that are symbolic. For instance, we know the meaning of Egypt. Is that right? Egypt signifies what? The world. Thank you, ministers. Egypt signifies the world. Like we always say, when I was in Egypt, it's not that you travel to Egypt. The Lord brought you out of Egypt. Brought Israel out of Egypt. We also have another city, Babylon. Babylon signifies what? False religion. That is why the denomination is typed as Babylon. It signifies false religion, false church. We also have what? Jerusalem. That signifies the city of God. But Sodom and Gomorrah is also significant. It signifies a completely depraved society. It signifies a society that is completely far from God and a society that is ripe for judgment. Amen. Ezekiel 16 verse 46. And thy elder sister is Samaria. She and her daughters that dwell at the left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at the right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet, hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if thou were a very little thing, thou was more corrupted than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and her daughters. Verse 49. Behold, this was what? The iniquity of thy sister Sodom. You know, we'll hang this verse. I want to say something about this verse. When we hear Sodom, what most of us think about is what? Homosexuality. Praise God. That is the first thing that comes into the mind of people. It's synonymous with homosexuality. But it's more than that. Homosexuality is like the stage it got to that God said they cannot take it any longer. But the sins of Sodom is not just homosexuality. Praise the Lord. Let's read verse 49 of Ezekiel 16 again. Ezekiel 16, 49. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Fullness of bread. That can mean materialism. Pride. When they go to a state where they feel they don't need God. When man becomes independent of God, it becomes pride. And that was the sin of Sodom. Fullness of bread is just about materialism and earthly things. An abundance of idleness. The adage that says an idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. So it was in hand, and she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That means there was greediness and covetousness everywhere. So it's not just homosexuality. Sodom and Gomorrah had sins they committed. Homosexuality was only one of them. Praise God. Are you with me? Somebody shout hallelujah. So Sodom and Gomorrah symbolizes a society that is in enmity with God and a society that is set for divine judgment. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be bought back. It cannot be forgiven. When God referred to Jerusalem as Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately judgment followed. So when God refers to a generation or a society as Sodom and Gomorrah, that means judgment is sure, judgment is certain. There's no repentance for them again. Mercy cannot prevail again over them. So it's a very, very bad state of mankind if God should call us Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise the living God. They were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 19, where we'll get our subjects from. Genesis chapter 19. Now, God was going to destroy Sodom. And this is what happened. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass, chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Amen. God is now ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But before God will destroy these cities, let's go to chapter 18 of Genesis. Genesis 18 from verse 20. And let's understand what happened. Brothers and sisters, our God is a righteous God. There are two sides of God that people do not know. And except you are balanced, you have a proper understanding of these two sides, you might end up having a problem with God. One is the side of mercy, the side of love, the side of grace, the side of goodness. Oh, for God so loved the world. You know, such that no matter how wicked a man has been, God will pardon that person. That is the side of God that the whole world celebrates. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. God is also wicked. God is also wicked. And his own wickedness passed the wickedness of man. Praise God. You must understand these two sides, that he's both good and he's also a God of judgment. If your walk with God is only based on the one side of mercy and of love, you will miss it. That's why some people don't believe there's anything like hell. Don't ever have an overdose of God's goodness that you think God cannot judge you. It's this overdose that makes many people continue in sin, continue in sin, continue in sin. And they feel, since nothing is happening, then God sanctions what I'm doing. He has no problem with what I'm doing. If God does not punish you now, it's because he has prepared greater punishment for you. Praise God. He burnt Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and sulfur. The Bible calls it brimstone. Brimstone is sulfur. To show you that he's a God of judgment. Amen. The Bible says because sentence against an evil work is not quickly done, therefore the hearts of the sons of man are set in them to do evil. But he says, how does it go? He says, but it shall be well with the righteous. I've forgotten how the scripture put it. Amen. God is a God of judgment. Now in Genesis 18, let's see what God was going to do. Verse 20. And the Lord said, this is God visiting Abraham, his friend, having a conversation with Abraham. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is what? Very grievous. God was fed up. It was too much. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now, watch from verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? For you to understand what Sodom and Gomorrah is, peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? What was the answer of God? Okay, Abraham was still talking. God, you are too righteous. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Oh, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What did God say? And the Lord said, Abraham, I've heard you. If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Did he find 50? Come on, let's talk. Did he find 50 righteous? If this is a sign of the end time, of the coming of the Lord, what does he say? Matthew 24 verse 12. If God could not find 50 within Sodom, how many will he find in this our day? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Brethren, I want to tell you something. It's a prophecy from the word of God. Men will become more sinful and wicked in this end time. Don't you ever expect a turnaround? You know, some of us, after you've watched film, you just feel like, oh, let me just wake up and let the whole world become a paradise. No. Things will get worse. Evil, iniquity shall increase and prosper. The Lord Jesus said it. He says, iniquity shall abound. The love of many, the love of God, will wax cold. This does not mean there will be no churches. In fact, there will be more religion in the world. People will be more religious, but less righteous. It's a sign of the coming of the Lord. God could not find 50 righteous in Sodom. 50. How many will he find in our day? And it is certain. He said, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall come. Is it not true? How many righteous are in the church today? In the church today. Is it not because of what we see in the church that CCTV cameras were installed? If somebody can come to a church like this where God is manifesting himself raw, and you will drop your bag and go and ease yourself, before you come back, they've helped you to clean your bag very well. In the church. So it means people's sin will increase. People will be more wicked. It's because the love of God will wax cold. Is there love amongst brethren again today? Gone are the days where everybody living in a particular street will know themselves. Where everybody living in a particular street will see themselves as neighbors. Where everybody living in a particular street will have a form of communal relationship. But today, how many people do you even know in your street? Say the love shall wax cold. Humans will be more godless. And I want you to know that many of us are victims of this prophecy. You might think you're fine before God, but let the scriptures weigh yourself on the balance of the scriptures and see whether you qualify as righteous before God. He says, iniquity shall abound. Let's go on. He promised Abraham, if I find 50, I will not destroy. Abraham thought, he looked at it, 50. Abraham knows what he was doing. He went ahead, verse 27. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Abraham had a very, 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 very great privilege. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said what? If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Praise God. You know, the Lord Jesus, talking about his coming, gave us 2 generations to watch. The first generation was the generation of Noah. He said, as it was in the days of Noah. The second generation is the generation of Lot. Our focus today is the generation of Lot. In the generation of Noah, in the whole world, how many people are saved? Just 8. Just 8. And the standard was not repent and start living right. The only standard was come into the ark. See, man is religious by nature. Man is religious by nature. Man is religious by nature, but when it comes to true relationship with God by revelation, it is very scarce amongst mankind. Why do you think we scream and shout the truth to the church like this? Some people think we are fanatics because, for instance, we preach a woman should not wear trousers. These people are old school, they are fanatics, or they are poor, they are not civilized, they are uneducated. It is a big lie. You might call me uneducated and non-civilized. I don't care about your worldly civilization. I care about my heavenly civilization. The Bible says, I am a citizen of heaven. Praise God. The days of Lot, 45 people. I'm going somewhere. I want you to see something. Please, don't be thinking of the history of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are talking of our days. So begin to picture this generation as we are reading the scriptures. 40 and 5 could not be found. Let's go on. Okay, verse 29. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Abraham kept reducing the number. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. For God to judge a society, it must be everybody that is committing the sin. Let's see Proverbs 28 verse 2 before we continue our reading of Genesis 18. When God is passing judgment on the society, that means the proportion of righteous people in that society is very low. When God is passing a judgment upon a society, that means he has looked and he can't find even a handful of righteous people. Look at the scripture. for the transgression of a land, for the transgression of a land, a society, a community, what happens? Many are the princes thereof. Many are the princes thereof. That means everybody is involved in it. You know, so many of us abuse Nigeria today, and all the time is our government will rain curses on, even when it is contrary to the scriptures. It is. The scripture says we should pray for those in authority. Many a times, Buhari, useless one, this and that. If you as a Nigerian, if you ever break traffic law, you are more guilty than Buhari. How many people here follow traffic lights, obey traffic lights? It is only when you see police or LASMA that you don't pass one way. And you open your mouth and say Nigeria is bad. You will be going on the road, you wind down and throw bottle water, throw nylon on the express. Nigeria is bad. You are contributing to it. You are. How many of us can pay taxes? Our light bill. Is it not sense we'll use and be cutting it? So we are all corrupt. The average Nigerian is a corrupt criminal. It's because you are not yet in the position of authority. That is why you can easily rain curses and abuse on them. How many laws of the land are you obeying, brother and sister? One day I was driving at Egbeda Akowonjo. There's a traffic light at that roundabout side. And I stopped. And everybody was going and coming. Everybody was passing. And the person in the vehicle was saying, go now. I said, there's a traffic light there. There was no last man official there. Go now. It's because God has corrected me. If you cannot obey the simple laws of man, how will you obey the law of God? I wasn't doing it because I was going to be arrested. I used to pass one way before, but I've repented from that. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes. You are contributing to it. If Nigeria is not good, the truth is you and I are contributing to it. Some of us will bribe our way. You will know your child does not qualify for something. Instead of you to allow whatever will be, you will bribe your way. You say Nigeria is bad. If the system is corrupt, it's because the people are corrupt. So forget it. Anytime you abuse or insult or rain curses on Nigeria, indirectly you are insulting, abusing, and raining curses on your own self. Go and think deeply about it. It's not about the leaders. If in this country we cannot select good leaders, that means all the followers are bad. It's not about the leaders. It's about you and I. So if you want Nigeria to change, begin with yourself and start changing yourself. Leave Nigeria alone. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. Many. And that is what we see displayed in the story of Abraham and the Lord. Now 40, now 30, if I find 30. That means everybody in Sodom had become unrighteous before God. Brother and sister, that is how it will be in this end time. People will be unrighteous before God. Churches are increasing in Nigeria. On a street, you can see 5 churches. Is righteousness increasing? Men will become more unrighteous this end time. It's a sign of the coming. Let's continue the reading. Verse 31. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. 20 righteous people in a community. God says, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. 20 people. He says, I look for a man to stand in the gap and make up the edge. That's in Ezekiel 22:30. Let's read it. Ezekiel 22:30. He couldn't find 20 people in all of Sodom and Gomorrah. A city of thousands of people. God could not find 20. He said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. This scripture is not just about prayer alone. If he found a righteous man interceding for the land, he will not destroy the land. That's what God is saying. 20 people could not be found in Sodom. Let's go on. Verse 32 and verse 33 now. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. Ah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 righteous people. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham and returned unto his place. Did God find 10 people in Sodom? Answer me now. 10 righteous could not be found in a city. This is a sign of the coming of the Lord.